Welcome to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise with Dr. Bobby Conway, the one-minute apologist, and Heather Conway. I'm your host, Tim Hall. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about cancel culture. This is a big subject, guys.
Oh, man, it sure is.
Who doesn't want to be canceled?
Yeah, right. Yeah, or who wants to be canceled, I think, is what you meant
yes,
to say.
Of course, it was a joke.
Right. No one really wants to be canceled, my goodness, yeah.
No way.
So why don't we start off with maybe a definition of what cancel culture is and
Good idea. Sure
that we're all on the same page. So there's a few working definitions. Maybe I'll read the one from the Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary. Look at you,
Tim. Yeah. So the Urban Dictionary defines this as a modern internet phenomenon where a person is ejected from influence or fame by questionable actions. It is caused by a critical mass of people who are quick to judge and slow to question. I think that's going to come into play in the future in this episode. It is commonly used, or it is commonly caused by an accusation, whether that accusation has merit or not. It is a direct result of the ignorance of people caused communication technologies outpacing the growth and available knowledge of the person. And we'll kind of sum it up like this in this one sentence. Hmm. In short, it is when your voice is silenced when it doesn't fit the popular opinion.
Yeah.
So that's how, so when we say cancel culture throughout the rest of this episode,
That's what we're talking about. Losing your voice, having it stripped away.
Right, yeah. And there's several examples of this. We put something on the 1 Minute Apologist Facebook page. So anyone that's listening to this and you want to head over to our Facebook page, I just asked a question about, has anyone been canceled? And I was surprised that there is several examples there. Someone was said that they were a former Mormon, and a lot of their people that are in their circle, their family, have essentially canceled them, unfriended them on Facebook and whatnot. There's examples in popular culture, which a lot of us know. But in this episode, I think we want to really discuss some of the kind of the biblical aspects of this and how to address this from a Christian worldview. So I think one of the things that maybe when it comes to cancel culture is, Bobby, what do you think Christians should think about cancel culture and maybe what the Bible says about cancel culture?
Well, I think as it relates to silencing someone's voice, that's unfortunate. And it's really difficult for me to observe this. And that's not me just saying as a conservative that, you know, I'm really bummed that conservatives are losing their voice. I would be bothered to see anybody losing their voice. And I feel like we should be champions of free speech. As it relates to the scriptures, I know that we could be accused of being cancel culture. I know that you brought up with me before the whole idea of Matthew 18, where it talks about, you know, confront somebody who's in sin once, go to them a second time with somebody else, and then the third time if they refuse to repent, and they are removed from the fellowship. There's a difference between cancel culture and accountability. I've never liked Matthew 18 being referred to as church discipline, because really the whole purpose of it is church restoration. So the motivation in Matthew 18 isn't cancel culture, it's restoration. And when you think of our culture today, it's completely different, right? I mean, it's we don't like something that you said. We don't agree with something that you did. We don't like that you're associated with this particular group. And what we do is we cancel you off. So I think that in the scriptures, it's a last resort, but there's always space to come back in and always space to be a part of the church, obviously. So I am comfortable personally recognizing that, you know, what a church has certain doctrinal beliefs and standards that they're to live by, and Muslims do, and Mormons do, and Jehovah's Witnesses do, and institutions do, and colleges do, and companies do, and I think that they should have the freedom to be able to run their corporations or lead their ministries or churches or congregations according to their own values and belief systems. What I fear that's happening today is we're trying to fit everybody into a particular mold. And really what we're going to end up with, my fear is we're going to end up with persecution down the road, because we're creating a mold by which we're saying everybody needs to fit into, and if you don't fit into it, we're going to cancel you. Well, that can only last so long, because at some point people are going to get fed up with being canceled and there's going to be a revolt. Right. And when the revolt happens, what are you going to do to silence the revolt?
Yeah.
You're going to persecute it. And so we're setting ourselves up for a structure that's going to lead to, by fear, physical persecution down the road.
And so, Heather, what are some other things that come to mind when you think of the Bible and living as Christians and this idea of cancel culture?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I'm going to be the voice of reason here and just say,
please,
no one wants to be canceled.
That's
being
right.
canceled is no fun.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in our day and time, everyone's being canceled.
Yeah.
I have people unfollowing me, people unfollowing you, whatever. It's happening all over the board. And I know even in the local church,
yeah,
canceling is happening. I mean, I know Bobby and I, we have been canceled before in the church.
Yeah.
It's not a fun thing to go through, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Because that leaves you feeling rejected. It leaves you feeling alone. It leaves you feeling isolated and shamed. And I think being canceled at the end of the day is not gospel-centered, really, to answer your question.
Yeah. Mm.
And first and foremost, I think that's what we want to be as believers, is we've got to be gospel-centered. And if we're not, if we're being canceled, and if we're canceling each other in the body of Christ, then we've just disobeyed the biggest commandment, right? Which
right.
is to love one another. So,
right. Yeah, it's hard to square cancel culture
with
unconditional love, yeah, with the gospel, with your big, beautiful brown eyes wide open looking at me, with the gospel,
right.
Yes. And for those who are newer to the station, this is my wife that I'm talking to here.
Yeah.
So
we can't cancel each other either.
Right.
Although, you know, it happens sometimes.
That's right.
Well, those are all. I think those are all really great points that you are making about that. What are some other dangers, Bobby, of cancel culture becoming widespread? And maybe you can even narrow that down a bit more and talk about it, the dangers in the church when that happens, when Christians are canceling each other. What are some of the dangers that could arise there?
Well, I think what Heather said is spot on. We're not applying the gospel. And that is something we have to avoid in the church. So we got to really be able to distinguish very clearly between, you know, a process of biblical restoration and cancel culture.
Yes.
I mean, restoration recognizes that we need to confront sin. I mean, there is such a thing as sin, and we need to confront sin, and we need to be able to address sin. But in the presence of brokenness, in the presence of somebody that's like, you know what, I confess I was wrong. I mean, my goodness, restore them immediately, right? In the presence of, you know what, unbrokenness, the reason of kind of the ultimate excommunication in Matthew 18, it's not like God's trying to just be difficult with somebody for the sake of being difficult. It's really the person being difficult, choosing to live their own way, and they're wanting to redefine God's terms.
Right.
And so we can't have people in the church redefining the terms by which we do church and say, oh, you know what, morality doesn't really matter, so we'll just throw that out the door. No, there is such a thing as morality. Jesus is our moral exemplar. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to emulate him in his life. And when we're out of alignment, we're to lovingly, gently encourage one another to fall back in alignment. But you could imagine if God didn't step in, there would be times, like, for example, I mean, people could say, well, stoning sounds like cancel culture, right? Like, for the person collecting sticks on a Sabbath and, you know, go out and stone them. And you're thinking, my goodness, so what do we do with that passage?
Yeah.
A new atheist love to bring that
right.
one up.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say, well, there's answers to this. We'd say, keep in mind that a theocracy was being set up. God's people were wandering in the wilderness. We have no extra biblical evidence nor biblical evidence that anybody was ever stoned for collecting sticks on the
right.
Sabbath. But why the drastic statement? What is that all about? It was more attuned to dealing with the person who was obstinately going to go against the theocracy, that wanted to rewrite their own rules, that wanted to reject Sabbath. Sabbath was going to be an important part of the way God's people distinguished themselves to the surrounding nations. And if this person's just going to go out and undercut all of God's ways, that was problematic. Like in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira, here was a big changing moment, right? With the church being started, and they are basically dropped dead by the Lord, you know, canceled out, right? Yeah. So there are moments where discipline might look like cancel, but we have to kind of go, well, what's behind it? What's the deeper meaning? And the Christian would be passionate about letting people have different voices and different opinions. I mean, think about Jesus. He was hardest on those who were the cancel culture of his day, the Pharisees.
The Pharisees, yeah.
He really dealt with them, didn't he?
Oh, totally. I think one of the significant things that I'd like to bring out is that today's cancel culture seems like there aren't very well-defined edges. And what you're talking about is there were. Everyone in the culture of the Old Testament, Israelites, they knew the 613 laws. It was pretty clear what those were. And so it wasn't a surprise necessarily. Yeah. What are maybe some other things that we might be missing out on by canceling somebody? Just in relationship and understanding other people's ideas along that line.
Yeah, you want to jump in there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I just think I can love someone. I can love you, Tim. I can love you, Bobby, and I can still disagree with you. Mm-hmm. And in the context of marriage, we know what that's like for sure, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But I think just in general, like, we have to get to that part.
I think you're wanting to say that we've had some intense fellowship, right?
Yes, that's another episode of Unapologetic. Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. But I think we have to just take it back there again to the gospel. Why can't we love each other and disagree with each other? Because I can disagree with someone politically. I can disagree with someone socially. I can disagree with someone just about on anything. But at the end of the day, I think I can still love that person.
Yes.
And I think that's where we have to get in a culture is I'm going to still love you without canceling you. And what does that look like? And I think Christians, believers, have to lead the way because we are being led by the Holy Spirit and we have the fruit of the Spirit in us. And so I think we should be convicted about leading the way in that.
And I think it's a shame that we're canceling people off like this because are we that weak and insecure in our own beliefs that we can't be challenged by other people's beliefs that don't maybe sit well with us? I mean, I think it's a sign of security in your own belief structure.
Yeah.
When you can have it threatened, or when you can have people bring up, you know, I think as a Christian, for example, we can give an apologetic in such a way that it allows us to be secure. And that's why I love Christian apologetics, defending the faith, because when we do know what it is that we believe and why, we can be secure in it. And I think sometimes when people are trying to defend something, they're not really sure what they're trying to defend. Then they're insecure, and they will ostracize and demonize those. But when you sit secure in your beliefs and you truly believe in what you believe in, that it's worth living for, then you're willing to listen to objections, and you're willing to be challenged on it. And you don't have to be defensive. We can give a defense, as William Lane Craig says, without being defensive. He says we can give an argument without being argumentative.
Right.
And these are important principles. And so I think what's really lacking and at the core of this, we don't know how to treat people with dignity as human beings. And we're going to have to figure out what the worldview of Christianity says, that we're created in God's image and that we need to value each other as people who have dignity, that they're worthy to be loved, cared for. And by the way, anytime somebody's thinking about canceling somebody, they need to think, well, what if they're in a situation someday where they're about to be canceled?
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, I don't want to be canceled in my lifetime, and I don't want to cancel anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do unto others, right? That was one of the most significant things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And so we don't necessarily want to live in a way that we don't want someone to live towards us. And I think that's a really great point. I think one of the other things that we miss out on is the continued relationship and the opportunity to grow. So I just know for me personally, one of the ways that I got into apologetics and kind of being able to defend my faith was opposition, was really taking the time to say, okay, this person believes something different than I do, and I need to help them answer the questions because I'm sure that there are answers out there, and then do some research. So instead of just being like, I'm never talking to this person again because they've significantly challenged my faith and they've raised objections I didn't have answers to, I need to go back and do some research. So, Bobby, how do you feel about just that endeavor in general?
Well, I mean, I do think that apologetics can be a sharpening tool. The Bible's clear. It says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so too does one person sharpen another. And we can be sharpened as Christians by understanding how to approach apologetics. For those that might be just listening in right now, apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia. It means to give a defense. Peter said, always be ready to give an apologia, to give a defense, to give an answer to those who ask you for the hope that is within you. This was in the context of persecution. In 1 Peter, they were being persecuted. So in other words, when people ask, by watching the way you live your life with such hope, tell me about it. So in other words, it wasn't even about the intellectual robust defense that we can give. It was like, wow, these people know how to really live this thing and be ready to give this. I think that people don't know how to get along, and we don't know how to disagree in a, you know, a respectful way. So when we work in the workplace or when we're online and people challenge our belief system, we need to see it as an opportunity, like you said, to grow. I'm so thankful. I mean, when I was a young Christian, you know, you would remember this, hon. I mean, I would go out to my wife's college campus, University of Central Arkansas, and I would literally go up to 50 to 100 people a week and share the gospel. I would cold turkey walk up to people in groups of five, groups of six, groups. I mean, I just walked straight up. That kind of a boldness I had. I would get up on a bench and preach across the campus, right? I mean, yeah, this was.
I bet you learned that, Heather.
Oh, yeah. I think we've talked about this before on our show, but yes. He did that all the time. As a matter of fact, he did it so much that I was sitting in my history class and I come in and they're like, did you guys see that wacko out there preaching on the bench? And I was like, did he have dark hair? Nope, don't know him. Yeah. But yeah, that was my hubby.
That was her hubby. Yeah, I mean, I was just out there living. We felt called to the ministry when we were young, and it was bold evangelism out there, man.
Oh, yes.
And I'll tell you, and I was getting asked questions that challenged me, but it was an opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
And you know, I started seeing some of these people again, and I bump in and we build relationships instead of canceling each other out.
Right.
You know, it just makes such a difference. And I think one of the reasons we're scared, Tim and Heather, for that matter, is we're scared to maybe do evangelism because we don't want to get canceled. Go do evangelism in the workplace, I'm going to get canceled. I go do evangelism in my neighborhood, I'm going to get canceled.
Right.
So what this fear of cancel culture does is it makes us evangelistically mute.
Which is very, very sad and dangerous and problematic.
Yes, very much so.
So how can, and Heather, I would love to get your perspective on this. How can we as Christians who are engaging in conversation with others, what are some things that we need to keep in mind as we build that relationship with one another, particularly with somebody that we might disagree with, someone that thinks that, you know, we are literally crazy for preaching the gospel? So what are some things that we need to keep in mind there?
Love that question, because as I was preparing for this, the scripture that came to my mind is 1 Corinthians 13:13, which is the greatest of these is love.
Mm.
And so everything has to be undergirded with love. You know, I can prophesy, I can serve the poor, I can do so many things, but if I don't love, then I have nothing. And, you know, that's where it's at. That's where we land the plane, because if we're canceling each other, then we're not loving each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's where I enter all my relationships with, how can I love this person? How can I hear this person? Even if I don't agree with them, I'm going to let love lead first, and then we can have a good conversation.
Yeah, you know, this is a good point, because on one way, on a cultural level, like we talked about, cancel culture affects us in this way. The problem with it is only one ideology wins. So if you don't fall into the ideology of those who are doing the canceling and culture, you're on the outside. And that was never our founding fathers' vision for America. The First Amendment rights, to be able to have free speech, to be able to have our voice. And that's what true tolerance is. True tolerance is the fact that we can love somebody and we can tolerate somebody and we can still recognize the dignity of a human being, even when we don't come to see eye to eye on our viewpoints.
Right.
And then in the church, I think we have to be careful. And on social media, We have to be careful. We're just writing people off. And every time we're just like, oh, defriend, 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 what we're doing is we're just teaching ourselves to have low dignity for people, or a low view of their dignity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's problematic.
Yeah. I do want to wrap up with talking about boundaries. So in the mental health crash course that you guys have taught, which if anyone's interested, you can find that at onemindapologist.com/MHCC. And you talk about the necessity of boundaries. And so I can imagine some people asking this question about, well, man, I feel like I've been abused, or I feel like that there is this relationship that really is just grating and I'm trying to love them. How do I love them? What sort of boundaries do we need to set up with family, with friends on social media, where we're still loving, we're not canceling them, mm-hmm. but we do have an appropriate boundary so that it's not being difficult? Heather, do you want to start us off there?
Yeah, well, boundaries is one of my favorite topics. I love talking about boundaries. I think boundaries are honestly one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves. I kind of define them as like property lines of what we're going to say yes to and what we're going to say no to in our life. And when it comes to even this cancel culture, you know, maybe you're out there and you have a hard relationship with your parents or friends. You need boundaries. You know, what am I willing to talk about, and what boundaries am I going to put around that? Because if we're not careful, then we find ourselves going down rabbit holes, and then that's when relationships start tumbling and getting all fiery, and we don't want that. So I just think boundaries are so important. And I think we do a whole session in our mental health crash course on boundaries as it relates to life. So it's a great topic. And so much to discuss and very layered.
Yeah, you do love this topic. You've always loved this topic.
Yeah.
And I think that you've said this statement for a long time, and I don't know if you heard it from somebody, you teach people how to treat you.
Yeah, that's Dr. Phil.
Yeah, Dr. Phil, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm a huge believer in that.
Well, kudos to Dr. Phil, but yeah. I think that's a great statement. We teach people how to treat us. And so on one side of the extreme is cancel culture. On the other side of the extreme is just letting people walk all over you, not establishing any boundaries. And I think that we need to realize that just because we're putting some boundaries up, that doesn't mean cancel culture. But we need to be careful that the boundaries don't become so off-putting that it practically is indistinguishable from cancel culture.
Not too rigid.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think we can bring it all the way back to where we started, that there is a possibility for redemption. That
Absolutely.
Really the goal with some of the boundaries is to unify and bring back that relationship within some certain parameters. And so, yeah, I think that's fantastic. So, Bobby, why don't you wrap up with a few kind of closing thoughts and words for us here?
Sure. I would say this is an important topic. We're going to be hearing more about it, unfortunately, from some of the things that we're even seeing on the news. Some of those that have enjoyed being those who cancel people out are ramping up their efforts to do a lot more cancellations. So we need to have a response in the church. How are we going to live in a cancel culture? How are we going to disciple people in this cancel culture to know how to, you know, address this issue? Like, in other words, how are we going to teach our kids to not just write people off? How are we going to teach our congregations to not just write people off? How are we going to realize that love believes all things, endures all things? Love never fails. I think that discipleship in the church is crucial, and that we have to have a way to navigate this culture that we live in without compromising the gospel. And I think that, unfortunately, I'm not all that optimistic about where the culture's headed. Mm. So I think that we've got our response as a church, and we know how to be Christianly. But as our culture is, I suspect that we're just seeing the beginning of this, and that's really scary for me.
Definitely. So I think if you are paying attention, the one sentence we can use to sum up this whole entire episode is that we need to love each other and not necessarily cancel each other.